going on, world? Happy Friday, and welcome to the Universal Frequency.
Energy frequency vibration. Energy frequency vibration.
We are back. We are back and better than ever. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Another episode. So tonight, we're going to get into small business, specifically why you should start a small business and what to do if you want to start a small business. So before we get started, hit the like, subscribe button. This is the Universal Frequency, where we tune in to vibrate higher. Hopefully you're vibrating with me. And yeah, man, we're going to do some science. All right. So let's talk about it. Why is small business important? Right? Why is small business important? They say entrepreneurship is the biggest driver of wealth in this country. Entrepreneurs employ other people. They impact people's lives. They impact their life in a manner that hopefully allows them to live out their passion. But there are some things that you have to identify and just think out a little bit more thoroughly if you decide that you want to make that leap. Now, me, myself, I am a small business owner. I wear multiple hats. It's realistic that as you begin as a small business owner, you may have to wear multiple hats as well. But let's talk about it. Why would you want to start your own small business? And I got a resource I want to share with y'all. So here we go. Share the screen. I did my homework, y'all. All right, let's bust it down. So, this article is from GetSmarter.com. Right? 7 reasons to work for yourself. And hopefully you can identify with some of these. Let's talk about it. So, being your own boss. Being your own boss is a valuable concept, especially if you ever experienced poor leadership or experienced a work scenario that was toxic because of your boss. Or maybe you're just a person that does not like listening to people. I know that I don't necessarily like to listen to people, but I will follow the right leadership. But there are some of us that really are better served being our own direction. And that's fine. If you're someone that wants to charter your own path, you may not necessarily identify with how feedback is given to you at times, and you may respond negatively to that. Maybe you want to be your own boss, but being your own boss is a heavy responsibility. Heavy responsibility. Number one, when you are your own boss, you only eat what you kill when it comes to hunting. So that time you may put in at your W-2 job, where if you just put in hours, they'll compensate you. So maybe you're affecting productivity. Maybe you aren't. Hopefully the job that you are in, you are affecting productivity. But this isn't like where you could just punch in and get paid. You actually have to be productive. You actually have to be responsible. And you actually have to drive success. So if this sort of lifestyle interests you, I absolutely say go for it. Greater control. You get to decide where finances go, what type of company culture you want, and the quality of work that should be expected. I feel like culture eats talent for breakfast. And that's something that I would encourage, or I hope that every boss or new business owner can understand out the gate. I've attempted to build teams, you've heard me say this, professionally and not professionally, and despite how talented the individual may be, ultimately, if they don't identify with the organizational culture, if they don't see things the same and interpret information the same, and they don't live the same mission, so to speak, it's just not going to be as effective as possible. So just make sure you understand when you be your own boss, you have that responsibility to set the type of culture that you want for your company or your organization. It could be like-mindedness for how you guys want to get work done. You may have a similar sales style. You may have similar principles when it comes to customer service, profitability, and even the type of business that you are in. But you got to make sure that you have control and you establish a culture. That's part of being your own boss. flexible hours. Now, this sounds cool, but this is a trap. Let me stop sharing the screen for a second so you can see, look me in my eyes. Flexible hours sounds cool, but this is exactly a trap. For anyone that's ever been in a commission-based role or a role where they've had to basically not get compensated by the time they put in or how productive they are, 40 hours is a myth. Okay? As a mortgage loan officer, at times I can work till midnight, 1 o'clock, depending on what I'm dealing with my pipeline, right? I need time to push my pipeline. I need time to nurture it, to resolve any issues, put out any fires. I need time to grow it, and I need time to close it. These are all things that are a part of even a commission-based role, which is basically like being your own boss. And for anyone who's ever, any barber, that'll tell you, some of you barbers can work 9-to-5. My barber, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Joel the barber. You know what I mean? Love you, brother. Joel cut till 10 o'clock at night if it means he's going to get some bread. That's your obligation as a business owner. You may decide that you may not want to cut here late, but Joel, shout out to Joel's Barber Lounge. Joel knows that a lot of his clients are available later in the evening, so he makes himself available. It depends on how bad you want it. I know plenty of entrepreneurs who put in crazy hours. I got family that throw bachelor parties. I ain't even gonna get into that nuance of it, but they don't put in traditional hours. The hours they put in reflect the needs of their business. So sometimes it may be long, sometimes it may be overnight, sometimes it may be early. Ultimately, you, as the business owner of your company, have to have an understanding of the type of hours, scheduling. It's just important. Now, I don't necessarily know if this is one of the first reasons why I want to be a small business owner, but according to this list, this is up there. Okay? Number two, this is cool. Define your job description. So, when you do decide to go in business for yourself, you are able, let me show you the screen again. You are able to decide what role you're going to play and how you're going to play it. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Where are we at? But ultimately, you have to be able to understand that you have a responsibility to not only yourself, but the people that you employ and the culture of your business to put people in the right roles. And that includes yourself. That includes yourself. You know what cracks me up every time I watch Gordon Ramsay? He'll go into a restaurant and he'll start tearing apart the kitchen. He's hilarious, right? Borderline disrespectful, but very truthful. One of the things he always encourages the owner of the restaurant to get out of the kitchen. This is your restaurant. You need to be out of the kitchen. Let the cooks cook in the kitchen. You need to be on the floor meeting your customers. And the more time that you spend in the kitchen as the business owner, the more your business suffers. He says that every episode. Everyone. And I think understanding the role you're going to play in the job description is a hugely organizational piece to your business that you can't overlook. Hold on, I need to be sharing this. I'm not sharing this again. Hold on, my bad. I need y'all to see what I'm looking at. Now, here is the thing. There is an art and a nuance to understanding what you want to do and what you are strong at. And sometimes it takes discipline, guidance, support from the people around you to understand that. But we have to get this right in the beginning. Oftentimes, we may go into business because we are the greatest at our craft. We may be a great mechanic, maybe a great landscaper, maybe a great barber, a great chef, a great baker, whatever. And you believe your skill is strong enough to sustain a lifestyle for you and your family. But you have to understand that in order for you to run and grow your business, you have to understand the difference between working in your business and on your business. Working in your business means you're answering all the phone calls. You're doing all the work. You're doing all the correspondence. You're filing all the receipts. More or less, not exactly per se, but these are the activities that you are doing. I mean, in the beginning and as you get started, this may be a part of it. You may have to pull double duty. you may have to book your own appointments. You may have to do your own correspondence. But eventually, as you grow, you have to figure out how to delegate and put yourself and other people in position. This is ill, man. This is ill. And I have a couple business owners that I want to get on the show. I know some really dope black, brown, white brothers and sisters that make a way for themselves. And I think they all share common characteristics, to be honest. A lot of it's drive. A lot of it's ambition. I think the most successful ones are disciplined in their approach and their craft. And that's how you have to be if you're going to make your craft for your living. Anybody that does anything full-time will tell you this is not play. The time that you put into your small business in the position that you hold is not play. It's how you generate your revenue. But we really have to have an understanding, especially in low to moderate income communities. We are notorious for going into business for the things we're best at. And again, that's the core. But if you're a great chef and you have this vision for how you have a great menu and you have a great decorum in your restaurant, how are you going to grow your business 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 locations if you're still trying to be the chef? Right? You eventually have to be able to transition your ideology, your way of thinking, your process to others, and implement that process and make it scalable so you can grow your business. And I really hope that you guys are listening when I say this, because this is a step that many of us skip. For real. For real. Now, you may also want to turn your passion into a profit. Maybe you believe in your product so much that you want to do it for yourself, or maybe you've been working under your boss and you have similar contacts and you know how to go get your own clientele and you want to stream off of your own. It's fine. I have a guy that delivers oil that worked under another guy that was delivering oil. He saved up his money, bought himself an oil truck, went into business for himself, saved up enough money, bought two more oil trucks. Now he has 3, hired 2 drivers. Now, because he has 3 trucks, he has to get help with logistics, correspondence. Someone has to deal with payroll. There has to be someone that can deal with scheduling and any potential HR issues. These are all things that come with the responsibility of owning your business. And you have to build this infrastructure in a manner that allows it to flourish. For real. For real. And again, you can do anything that you want. Let's be real. Any idea that you've ever seen in this reality was once a thought in somebody's head that was manifested. So if you want to go into small business for yourself, you can if you do the right things. Now, that is not to say that small businesses do not fail. Many businesses fail. In fact, odds are you as a small business owner are going to fail a couple times before you are successful. But that is a part of the process. That's what forges you through the fire. And sometimes you may have to go through 4 or 5, hopefully not 6 failures. Then number 7, be lucky. I also got some people that struck gold in their first one. So that's just a part of the process. Now, increase your earning potential. Yeah, I can tell you that the biggest driver of wealth in this country is small business. I can tell you that when it comes to jumbo mortgage lending, those are primarily affluent customers who have their own businesses. So any mortgage loan officer that is going to do jumbo mortgage loans has to be proficient in evaluating small business tax returns. That is a fact, okay? And when we think about the ability to be paid what you're worth, a lot of the times you may be worth it more than the $15, $20 to $30 an hour that you're being paid. I believe you are. You just have to prove it. Prove it, and then go get funding. maybe you have to prove it in order to get funding, or maybe your funding can help you prove it. Who knows? Maybe you want to improve the lives of others. I know the dopest feeling that I've seen is when a small business owner can empower the lives of people around them. And we see some very high-level examples of, like, rappers and entertainers. I think MC Hammer employed, like, 100 people at one point. I may be undershooting that number. But that's changing people's lives, right? People are paying their mortgages, their rents, putting their kids to school, paying for health care, right, with the opportunity you're providing them. So that's dope. On a smaller scale, I've also seen... I've seen small business owners, I've seen janitors employ young kids to teach them the game so they can go out and they can understand how to do a custodial service or how to do a mechanic business or even welding. My boy's father was a welder. It taught him how to weld. That's a translatable skill that can improve the lives of others. I also think that when we talk about the failure of being a small business owner, you have to be able to assess and deploy what you did wrong. And that's sometimes a challenge, right? When we think about ego. And I know, Lord knows, I think I'm right all the time. More or less. But I feel like I have reasons for it. But if I'm not, I'm also very... I'm very open to feedback so I can grow and understand, but that's where I am now as a person. Let's be honest, we all know people that don't take feedback very well, but you have to be able to learn from your failures. You have to. And we've talked about this in a podcast before. Is failure even really a failure? If you knock on 100 doors and they don't open, but you know that 101st door was the door you were looking for. Was knocking on doors a waste of time? The answer was no. Absolutely not. And so you only quit when you fail. Regardless of what you're doing, right? But does not mean if something is not successful, you do not have a responsibility to go back and become more prepared. Do your research. Align your service to your market. Is it seasonal? Is it not seasonal? What is the demand? These are things that you have to research before you're going into a business, I think. Now, some ideas are spontaneous on the moment you want to execute. But there is some greater legwork that you have to do in order for you to be successful. I have another article I want to share with you. Tap into the universal frequency. Like, subscribe, share. We vibrating higher. We vibrating higher, for real. Here we go. Alright. So this is an article from SBA.gov. Actually, let's go back. Let's go back. Oh. Alright, so we'll start here. So the SBA website is a great resource for information for small business owners. Funding programs, whether there's grants, contracts, maybe there's assistance for the particular business that you want to go into. This is a great resource. So, oh, here we go. This is what I want to look at. I'm sorry. Where are we at? There was a dope article that I have for y'all. Hold on. No, y'all don't see that. Here we go. Simon Phoenix, who follows out of non-believers. Where are we at? Okay, well, listen, we're just going to rock with it. We're just going to rock with it. All right. Hold on. I'm going to come back. I'm going to open this again. Apologize. Well, let's get back to it. The article that I found was 10 things you should do when you want to start a small business. But when it comes to planning your business, market research and analysis is essential. So what does that actually mean, right? Is there a desire for your product or service? What are you selling? What are you offering? What is the intrinsic value of it? Are you creating something new? Are you solving a new demand? I can tell you that a lot of today's businesses with tech have to deal with connecting resources that are already existing. Okay? So when we think about Uber, Uber just connected a bunch of people in their cars to a taxi program or a rideshare program. And it's a multi-billion dollar business. And it did not have to purchase a single vehicle. And when you think about compared to what the taxi service was, this is brilliant. This is brilliant. Uber Eats. Again, Uber Eats revolutionized food delivery without purchasing a single vehicle. Being able to connect existing resources may be a smart way to do that when it comes to planning your business. But you have to absolutely be able to find a desire for your product or service. If nobody wants it, you will not be able to sell it. And let's be real, there are some products and services that are always going to have a demand. The plumber is always going to have demand. And listen, it's not an easy job. It's not built. It's not for everybody. Sometimes you really get into messy situations. But you always need a plumber because shit has to get plumbed, right? Lord knows if it goes foul down there, I can't fix it. So, a plumber, a mechanic, an electrician. These are jobs that if you go into business for yourself, you find yourself a trade, establish a trade, and you're good at it, you should be able to generate your own audience. A barber. Or a hairstylist. You know, shout out to all the ladies out there that go and get their hair done right. I know it costs a bunch of bread. You know? I mean, haircuts used to be $20. They not no more. Hey, yo, y'all got to stop paying y'all barbers $20, by the way, man. No more $20 cuts. We got to cut that out. We got to cut that out. It's 2022. But that's a service that people are always going to need. So if the product or service that you are going to go in business with does not have a demand, how are you going to sell it? If it were me, a line of resources that already exists seems to be a great idea, and we see it a lot in tech. Using our minds to make shit more efficient. So, market size. How many people will be interested in what you are offering? Let's go back to this, man. I need you to see this share screen. I'm going to stop talking out what I'm doing when I'm doing this, I promise you. Murky shit. How many people will be interested in what you're offering? Who does it resonate with? Right? And where is that audience? What is the size of that audience? How can you penetrate it? These are things that you have to decide. These are conversations that happen normally in music, by the way. Movies, comic books, toys. Who's going to buy this toy and where? Right? Who's going to buy this toy? Where are we going to market it? Where can we put this toy that more people, that this demographic of people are going to be so that they can see it and purchase it? Those are the dynamics that have to be there. And again, it sounds crazy, and I don't want to discourage anyone that comes with a new flavor of bagel or some shit, you know. something weird and quirky. Listen, those things may work. Those things work. Or are you trying to invent a gadget? Like my man from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Y'all remember that? He invented the shrink ray machine. I don't know why, you know, they wanted to shrink shit, but that was the thing, and he was trying to get on with it. Okay, it's above my my intelligence level, I guess. Location. Where do your customers live, and where can your business reach? Now, the internet has solved a lot of this, especially when you think about people that sell merch. Like the Insane Clown Posse. I don't know if you guys know that. The Insane Clown Posse, like, built, I want to say, the blueprint for a merchandise move. T-shirts, cups, mugs. It sounds crazy, but they did very well for themselves. Very well for themselves. Even though I'm not really into the music, I got to respect the hustle. Another one. Market saturation. How many similar options are already available to customers? That's real. That's real. And I wonder this because in communities of color, sometimes we see a lot of similar type businesses or restaurants. Like, example, Bridgeport, Connecticut, right? I worked downtown Bridgeport, Connecticut for a while. And there's a lot of Jamaican restaurants downtown. And they're all cool and they're all good people. But when we think about that type of business, you're all fighting for the same sort of foot traffic. And even myself, when I wanted Jamaican food and I was cool with one restaurant owner, I would go here. But if I'm cool with the other guy, the next time I want Jamaican food, I got to go to him instead of going back to my other customer, my other friend. Those are some of the challenges. Pizzerias, same thing. Now, if there is a demand for a product or service, then it makes sense. Like, example, downtown New Haven, where Yale is, bro, there are all types of pizza places because downtown New Haven is a big campus. There's a lot of businesses there, and they also do a lot of deliveries to, you know, the greater New Haven area, so to speak. But that makes sense. So I guess it depends on the foot traffic. And it depends on the foot traffic. I mean, shout out to all the small business owners, though. For real. Shout out to all the small business owners. Hold on, where are we at? There we go. Let me go back to this. We working, brother. We working. We working. We working. By the way, if you've ever seen Shark Tank, it is a brilliant show. These are the things they discuss. Obviously at a very high level, but these are the things they discuss. And to keep it 100, there are businesses that go into Shark Tank and they are rejected by Shark Tank, but still find a way to become a profitable, successful business. Which again goes to show you, you cannot take no for an answer. But market saturation, I digress. How many similar options are available? And also pricing comes into play. I'll be real, if I'm being cheap, and I know a plate over here costs 20, but I also know this plate over here is 15, and it's just as good, I may go with the 15. Just keep it a buck. We all have been there, right? These are the decisions that consumers make. When thinking like a consumer and a person that's going to spend their hard-earned money, they're thinking about what value they're going to get. What value are they going to exchange for their money? There are some things that are pricey but are worth it. To be real. One of my own team members, his father had a restaurant. His father's restaurant was not cheap. Not cheap. But, and it was an Italian restaurant, but that food was amazing. It was worth the value. And he knew what he was worth. He knew what he was worth, his time was worth, and what his output was worth. And when you think about that, it almost sometimes, like, raises the value. Not raises the value, but if someone has a product or service and it's not cheap, after we get through the, damn, it's not cheap, blah, 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 we start to ask, hey, ask questions about why. Why is it so costly and what value are we getting? And if you're able to answer that, people see the value, they're absolutely going to buy. Right? They're absolutely going to buy if people have value. You have to be able to establish a value statement around what you are selling. Right? Mr. Customer, this is my name. This is what I do. And my role is A, B, and C to help you achieve whatever so-and-so goal. I do that by blah, blah, blah. May I ask you a few questions? Permission statement into a deeper understanding. But these are the conversations that you want to be able to have. You have to get strong with this in your tool belt as a salesperson. But again, as a business owner, we have to be able to create value, have elevator pitches around what we do, who we are, and why we do it. And sometimes the why is really, really important in some areas. There are numbers that show that people that identify with their businesses from a cultural standpoint, when it comes to community involvement, whether it comes to philanthropy, whether it comes to engagement, they are more likely to buy from like-minded businesses that share similar values. Because they know they are supporting people that think and act and live just like them. I don't see nothing wrong with it. I don't really see nothing wrong with it. The next step, after you do competitive research analysis. Oh, SWOT analysis. We're going to come back and we're going to do a whole video on the SWOT analysis. I'm going to get some people to bust it down with me. I got some dope ideas for that one. That's coming. But anyway, write your business plan. Okay? This really should be, after you consider why you want to get into small business and you get the right reasons aligned and you decided on a product or service that meets a need and you've identified all those things, you have to write these things down in an organizational fashion. Okay? Structure. Mission statement. Operating agreement. Pick a business plan format that works for you, right? This is huge. And hold on, let me make sure I loop this back. I'm going back, brother. I'm going back. Okay. So there truthfully is no right way to write a business plan, wrong or right way, excuse me, to write a business plan. There's many different formats and there's many different tools you can use. Ultimately, just find one and treat that like a living, breathing document. Constantly improve it, constantly work on it, constantly nurture it. You have to have this foundation. You have to know whether... You have to know what the business plan is and be able to show this to someone and they read it and they know exactly how your business works. That is the business plan, right? Hey, I have a business. What is it that you do? Here's the business plan. Or even more detailed. Hey, I have a business. Please invest in me. Oh, really? Let me see your business plan. And they're going to look at your business plan and make a decision about your activities, your structure, your profitability, your market share, and your ability to meet it by that business plan. Right? So let's talk about what going to business plan. Executive summary. Briefly tell your reader what the company is and why it will be successful. Include your mission statement and your product or service. Your basic information about your company's leadership, employees, and location. You should also include financial information and high-level growth plans if you ask for financing. That is literally what I just said, right? If you want to borrow money for your business, you're going to have to include financials and plans for growth to show that you can not only pay that money back, but what is the expected profitability from their investment. If you cannot explain that to anyone, they will not give you money. 1,000,000%. Watch Shark Tank. Watch Shark Tank. Even if it's not about necessarily whether people get on or not, how they have to be prepared to go into that lion's den and present themselves and their business in a manner that not only shows who they are, but why they do it, and that it can be profitable. You have to have this. For real. You have to have this. We're rocking. Company description. Detailed information about your company, the problems that you solve, list out your customers and organizations and your target audiences that you plan to serve. What needs do you plan to meet? How can you brand yourself around this? Right? You have to explain the competitive advantages that will make your business a success. This is huge, right? Personally, I joined a venture capital company that wanted to revitalize the mortgage business. And they had a plan to make mortgages cheaper. They have a plan to make mortgages cheaper, faster, and better for the consumer. And they talk about in their business plan, I didn't see the entire business plan, but part of their branding as using tech as their advantage. That's what makes their business a success. They raised had a $640 million valuation as a small business. Achieved Series A funding. Right? People are only going to invest into a company of that scale if they truly believe you have a competitive advantage. Right? That's just part of the story. Anytime you see a business that gets seed funding, or there goes to Silicon Valley, or whether they run into a rapper or someone that just wants to make a good flip, they have to have this information. Organization and management. How your company will be structured or who will run it. You know, a perfect example of this, and it's kind of disconnected, but you seen with DC and Batman, right? He owns the company, but he does not run it. He has a board of people that are in charge of profitability, decision making, evaluating risk, projections, trends, putting out fires. He is the owner and they run the company. That was their structure. Not all of us are going to be as fortunate just to have a business as someone else run it. But yeah. You have to understand the structure of your company. Now, my advice, consult a tax attorney before you make a decision on what type of entity you want to be. And I'm speaking cold hard facts to you. Let me go back on the screen. Consult a tax attorney before you decide what type of entity you want to be. And I say that because, especially during this PPP wave, I saw a rash of people just opening small businesses with a trade name certificate from their town hall, using their social, applying for PPP loans without ways to pay them back. Now, there's a whole different conversation with PPP loans and fraud and where all that money went and who's going to have to pay it back. Some of y'all, yeah, the jig is up. They're coming for that PPP money, right? And I don't advocate for people going to jail. That ain't cool, but y'all going to have to pay it back or else, right? But you need to be informed when you make these sort of decisions. And even if you possess the ability to read information and disseminate it, if that's what you have to do, fine. But if you're legal jargon and certain nuances that have been learned through the experience of being in a particular field. That's what you're paying for when you go to an accountant. Anyone can attempt to read some sort of laws and standards and try to make understanding of it. But the experts are the ones that know it, that breathe it, that can guide you through it, that can show you how to navigate it best for your scenario. Right? So just get an accountant. Matter of fact, I'll take back what I said about you even trying to read this shit. No, just go get an accountant. Because as a small business owner, once your business becomes successful, you're not going to be able to spend your time looking at the books. You have to spend your time growing and nurturing your business. So, to set yourself up for success and to scale, just go get an accountant, cuz. You heard it from me. Alright. Service or product line. Describe what you sell or what service you offer. Explain how it benefits your customers and what the product life cycle looks like. Share your plans for intellectual property, like copyright or patent filings. If you're doing research and development for your product or service, explain it in detail. Again, this is when you got to call the experts, family. 1,000,000%. There is no way that you're going to understand intellectual property or patent law or copywriting without getting experts involved. And depending on your business, it may be something that you have to do. Now, if you're going into business to be someone with a trade, a mechanic, electrician, a barber, maybe copywriting law or intellectual property may not be of importance. But if you're going into movies, you're going into creating content, music, anything like that, this is absolutely a conversation. So you have to understand the service that you're providing, to understand it, the risk nuances that come with it, and prepare. For real. Again, this is just the business plan we're talking about. Nothing else. What you were writing on paper. All right. Marketing and sales. There is no single way to approach a marketing strategy. You are going to have to evolve your marketing strategy to fit your needs. A lot of that can be dependent on social media, right? It used to be Facebook and Facebook ads, and then Instagram and Instagram ads, and now we see TikTok as the driving awareness for a lot of ad revenue, because that's where a lot of the eyes are, right? There are businesses that 10 to 15 years ago wouldn't have been involved in social media, but are now having social media departments and trying to figure out how to create a TikTok trend. This is a part of marketing, right? This is a part of marketing. Let's go back. I feel like this is gospel. I hope y'all listen, man. For real. Funding requests. If you're asking for money, this is when you outline your funding requirements. Just don't show up at your uncle's house or your cousin's house and be like, yo, I need 40 bands to help me make this business work. The first thing they're going to ask you is what, how, right? I mean, listen, maybe your uncle or your cousin just got the 40 bands laying around. Hopefully you got it like that. But most people are going to want to understand what they are giving it to you for. So, if you're going to ask for funding, you have to detail your funding requirements. Clearly explain how much funding you'll need over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years and what you're going to use it for. Specify whether you're looking for debt or equity, the terms you like applied, and the length of time your request will cover. Also, be very detailed on how you're going to use the funds. If you're going to buy equipment, materials, pay salaries, all of that needs to be detailed so there can be a clear understanding of how this business is functioning. Okay? Now, again, financial projections. Now, this is really high level. I'm not going to say that everyone that goes into business for themselves does financial projections, but again, it depends on the type of business. If you are a tradesman or tradeswoman, if you're going to be a mechanic, a plumber, a hairstylist, anything like that, it may not be necessary. A sole proprietor or a single member LLC may not be necessary. If you're going to run a corporation and you want to be public, right? These are things that you're going to have to do. This is where the big money comes into play. Right? This is where the big money comes into play. So, I'm going to stop sharing. Yo, so what do y'all think, right? Like, subscribe, share. Is this helpful? I really feel like being a small business owner and being able to establish your own legacy is just so dope. It's just so dope. And there are three ways that wealth is passed down in this country: home ownership, inheritance, and small business. Right? Home ownership, inheritance, and small business. So, unless you're going to inherit some money, or unless you're going to buy properties and buy homes, which is another way to do it, having a small business is a way to truly establish wealth. And when I say wealth, and this is not whether you can work a normal job. Actually, you know what? Let's actually Google what wealth is defined as before I start going off the rails or what I think. Wealth is defined as abundance of value, possessions, or money. Now, we know there's different types of wealth, but in monetary concerns, in order to establish abundance, that is not going to be done through working a regular job. That is a falsehood. Now, some of us will be able to work up the corporate ladder, and some of us will be able to, and when I say us, I mean workers. Some of us will be able to grow and be promoted and maybe make it to the top of the pyramid. But the reason it's a pyramid is because it has a wide base and it's skinny at the top. Everybody can't go to the top. There has to be a lower foundation in these sort of structures. So it is not designed for you to be a W-2 salaried employee and become wealthy. You may be middle class. Maybe you'll just get by. Maybe you'll be comfortable. But again, in order to establish wealth in this country, it is typically passed down through inheritance, home ownership, and small business. That is why small business is important. And if you want to be a small business owner, and you have a particular skill set that you believe can not only provide for your family, but can provide for others, absolutely pursue it. For real. But you know, I've also seen like wild shit. Right? I've seen wild shit. I seen a dude get laid off like two weeks after starting the job, bro. That's foul. Like, can we be real about how foul that type of shit is? Oh, shout out to Donkey Bonks TV too, by the way. Shout out to Tech. Shout out to Donkey Bonks. A dope podcast network. So not only go listen to this podcast, Google Donkey Bonks TV. The description, or actually the description is in the bio. Comic Book Trap House is dope. But yeah, man, can you imagine starting? Can you imagine starting a job in 2 weeks? They're like, "Hey, sorry, brother, you gotta go. Peace." You're like, "Yo, I done set up my kid's schedule. I done probably bought some gear. I done probably did some things because I thought I had the money coming in. I done aligned some things, and now 2 weeks in, you're letting me go." You never want to do that to anybody. So being a small business owner, there's a responsibility. Responsibility to yourself and your business foremost. You have to make sure the business stays upright. And you have to make sure you take care of yourself personally. So, Yeah, man, this is the Universal Frequency Podcast. Tap in, tune in, we vibrating higher. We're going to bust down a lot of different topics. Just getting to see legs, but they're coming. 1,000,000%, they're coming. And I appreciate you guys, man. If you like the podcast, if you like the message, share it, put people onto it. Holla at me, let me know what's good. This is different. We're not ambulance chasing for content over here. We're not doing that. We are creating content that is going to empower people to live their best lives and vibrate higher, man. That's the universal frequency. So I appreciate you guys. Shout out to Donkey Bongs TV. This is FNX. Have a good night.
Energy, frequency, vibration. Energy, frequency, vibration. Energy, frequency, vibration. Go and look at destiny now while you waiting.